The Secret Origins Podcast, Episode 5.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Secret Origins Podcast. I'm your host, DFG1 Mike, and I'm joined by Lupus Convoy. Hello, sir.
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
I am surviving.
You're surviving. Yes, you're surviving every other week on this show.
This is my life. Yes.
Yes. Today we will be reviewing the Season 1 finale story from Justice League, The Savage Time. So what's been going on with you, sir?
School and car shopping and school and...
Car shopping?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And I'm really psyched about Blackest Night still. I got the newest issues and I'm all, like, jazzed up because the writer is amazing and he's throwing in so many little nuances that people probably wouldn't have thought about. So I am psyched. And it's getting me further and further into this DC rabbit hole, as it were.
Hasn't DC always been in a rabbit hole?
True, but it's getting progressively worse where I don't even know that Marvel exists anymore.
Well, you know Marvel's answer to DC's Blackest Night promotion, don't you?
Oh, we'll buy back all the covers.
Yeah.
That's a pretty dick move. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is. That's kind of stupid, actually. Of course, when you have a dildo in charge of stuff, then shit's bound to hit the fan.
Oh, Quesadilla?
No. Oh, whoops. The dildo's DC. Oops. Dan DiDio or the dildo or whatever his name. Yeah. Yeah, Quesadilla. Yeah.
I can't take credit for that one, but yeah, that's pretty fitting. I refuse to call him by his real name. So he's always going to be Quesadilla.
Oh, wow. So let's see. Since episode 4 aired, we've had a bunch of other episodes air on the network. Actually, last night we just premiered GCRN Wars, and it's spelled with a Z, and no, it has nothing to do with World War Z at all. It's basically our debate show.
Where I'm telling you, you're missing something out. I mean, that's a potential niche market right there.
No.
Zombie listeners? Come on.
What zombie listeners? Hell, we barely get any feedback on the shows we do now, let alone zombie shows. Anyway,
what type of feedback are you really expecting from them? Brains?
Well, from the zombie people, probably, but from the regular people now, something, hell. Something other than, I can't listen to your shows because the levels are so off. Well, I'm sorry, we're not professionals. I don't have, like, a radio station inside my apartment as much as I would want one, but, yeah, no. Anyway. Let's see, what was released this past week? Tooncast 43, which was the Jabberjaw episode. MWire 35, which was Little Big League. Whatever. Like I said, we premiered GCRN Wars, which is our debate show. The first episode is entitled Dirty Government and Healthcare Horrors. GCRN Wars is pretty much meant to be a debate show, like I said. Most of the time it's one or two, maybe three people debating or getting in a highly charged discussion on a certain topic, and whenever you bring politics into the mix, there's going to be some really raging opinions there. So that's what that's all about. Let's see, we have coming up, we have Tooncast 44. I have no idea what show that is for. I'm trying to think what episode that'll be. I don't even remember anymore. Beast Unleashed Episode 7 will be coming up Thursday. The record for it. That's pretty much what's going on with us. I've actually been guesting on Radio Free Cybertron the last 2 weeks. That's been pretty cool.
Cool.
Yep. So I guess we are going to get into some episodes.
We've cased the whole area. Maybe GHQ got some bad info.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time.
Or maybe the map's no good.
You're right, this hill isn't even on it. I wonder.
You're so smart, why don't you go find a runway with your magic ring?
Enough of that, Dozer.
Sarge, you almost got us killed. What do we need you for anyway? You're a big man when your ring's working, but without it, you're just...
What in blazes?
I thought so. The hill's a phony. That's why it wasn't on the map. There's your runway.
Any luck?
The code is complicated, but... Yes, I've got it.
What are they saying?
Oh, no.
What is it?
The invasion. It's starting.
Does it say where they're going to land? Dover, Brighton.
Britain is not their target. They're invading America. I'm not sure the signal is strong enough.
We've got to alert the Allies. Keep trying.
It's not too late. I can still stop the invasion.
Wait. What if I never see you again?
Wish me luck.
Good luck, Angel.
No time to call for backup.
Maybe we can string some mines across the tarmac.
Too late for that. Look.
Is everything prepared?
Just as you ordered, mein Führer.
Excellent. I will personally lead the invasion force.
It's the big man himself.
Let's hit him and hit him hard.
Ignore them. We're not stopping for anything.
I've got a plane to catch.
You can't stop him single-handed.
Watch me! He's crazy, Judge. Shut up and cover him.
Hero make it?
Yeah. The man's got guts, I'll give him that. Now let's show him what we're made of.
Alright, pretty much the one thing we're going to be talking about today is the three-parter, The Savage Time, and as we've done with all of these two- and three-parters, we're just going to talk about it as one giant story. I am going to be synopsizing. Lupus is going to be interrupting whenever he feels like he needs to. that's the whole point of the show. Of the whole format we kind of have here. So, part one starts. The Justice League is returning to Earth from a mission in a distant galaxy. The Javelin's engines having run out of fuel, Green Lantern is towing the vessel with his ring, which he mentions is running low on power. Okay. One of the problems I have with this is in the next little paragraph here. As they approach the watchtower, Superman contacts Batman in the tower. Alright, now, generally, I know a car is not a Javelin, it's not a spaceship, but take a car, for example. If you run out of gas, or if you lose power, or if you lose whatever, okay, if your battery dies, you can't turn the radio on and listen to the radio. How the hell was he able to contact the watchtower when they're running low on fuel and energy and power and all that stuff? That makes no sense.
Redundant backup systems?
I don't know. You know, maybe
I'm thinking like maybe it's a different power source for communication devices and things like that rather than a power drive.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not really sure. So as they approach the watchtower, like I said, Superman contacts Batman in the tower. Before they arrive, there is this blinding flash of light. When the light fades, the watchtower is gone. Dun dun dun.
Damn it, you beat me to it.
The League lands on Earth, in Metropolis, and is shocked to find things have changed. Huge buildings and Nazi-style flags are everywhere. A squad of security officers appears and demands their identification. When the Flash makes the obligatory joke, the guards open fire. The League runs and are pulled into an underground hideout by Batman, only a different Batman dressed in futuristic armor.
He's a cool Batman.
Love this design for Batman. This is so awesome. And I'll expound on that later. Jean Jones quickly concludes that something has happened to alter time. Why the League was affected isn't certain, but likely Lantern's ring shielded them from the effects in this timeline. Bruce Wayne's parents were executed as dissidents by the fascist regime headed by Vandal Savage. Bruce now leads the resistance against the regime. When Lantern asks how long the regime has been in place, Bruce answers since World War II, which the Axis powers won. The League, with Batman's help, infiltrates Savage's laboratory and finds a time machine. It seems obvious that Savage has used it to alter history. The League decides to travel back in time and try to put things right. It is risky, as they have heard Savage's scientists saying that the portal will collapse in 48 hours. Batman decides to remain behind, saying that if they fail, someone will have to keep fighting against the regime. Now, one of these things, this whole space and time travel, I'm glad they used the Back to the Future version, where they're just traveling through time and not time and space.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, you know, if you look at this whole beginning scene of this episode, it is pretty much Back to the Future 2, except with superheroes.
Okay.
You don't get that?
The last time I watched Back to the Future was when I was like 10, so...
Wow, what is... Okay, that's it. Give me your geek license, that's it. You're done. No more geekdom for you, buddy.
No, I just make up my geekness in other ways.
No, alright, well, the whole thing was, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but the whole thing in Back to the Future 2 was Biff altered the timeline.
Right.
So there's an alternate 1985. They went to the alternate 85. They had to go back in time to 1955 and blah, blah, blah. That's the same thing here. Where, yeah, it's basically...
Okay, I understood that part, but the time and space part was what threw me. So I'm like, am I forgetting something here?
Because
honestly, time travel hurts my head.
The reason why I say time and space is because when I was watching special features for Back to the Future, they specifically said they just wanted to deal with time travel, not the whole time-space continuum. So that's why I brought it up, and I like that they just did the time travel here and not dealing with time and space.
Where they're not having to figure out, okay, this is, we're going back 60 years plus 3 months and 5 days, and where is everything located and related to one another, and are we going to magically appear in the middle of space, or are we going to land in the middle of the Earth, or...
Yeah. So, the League arrives in a ravaged city in France in the midst of heavy fighting between Allied and German forces. Right away, they see what has changed. The Germans are equipped with war wheels. Wow. Those
Isn't
things...
that the name of, like, the giant wheels from He-Man?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and watch some He-Man and find out. Enormous tanks with overwhelming firepower and crushing size. As the Allied forces fall back, the League disables one of the tanks. They examine the electronic systems and find transistors, which weren't even invented until after the war. Jean and Wonder Woman decide to fly to Berlin to find out more about the source of the weaponry. In Berlin, the word comes from the front of the Allied heroes with strange costumes and magical powers. Vandal Savage, the Führer, dismisses the stories as propaganda. I find it very funny, and I'm seeing more continuity in between this episode and Legends, because Savage at some point says, we'll just deal with them like we dealt with the other costumed freaks. So, you know, going back to Legends when we covered that, that was around the same time, wasn't it? When that whole Earth kind of went...
Yeah.
So, World War II could, you know, this whole thing...
Wait, wasn't... Legends was afterwards, wasn't it? Because that was Cold War era?
Was it Cold War? I thought it was World War II.
It might have been World War II. I'm just trying to think, because I seem to recall something about Cuba. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to, you know, bridge the gap continuity between episodes, because Savage does make mention of other costume heroes, not the Justice League being...
Right. I didn't know if that was in reference to some of the other characters that we see later on in this three-parter.
Maybe. As Diana and Jean approach Berlin, an American spy steals a German fighter. His plane is pursued and shot down. The spy bails out and he is knocked out before opening his parachute. Wonder Woman catches him and he awakens to see her bending over him. An angel, I must be in heaven. He introduces himself as Steve Trevor and explains his mission. Allied intelligence believes that the Germans are planning to invade England. Steve has stolen one of the Germans' communicators, one of the Germans' encrypted communicators, and is due to meet a German code expert in France. If he can crack the communicator, he'll be able to listen in and find out when the invasion is set for. Wonder Woman and John are surprised to hear that Savage, a dictator from the future, is the current Führer. He is apparently a scientific genius whose new weapons have impressed the High Command so much that they made him their new leader. Wonder Woman decides to accompany and protect Steve while Jean continues and infiltrates the German Central Command. In a secret laboratory, he finds a laptop computer and Adolf Hitler frozen in a cryogenic tube. Jean is surprised and incapacitated by Savage. On the battlefield, as more tanks appear, the League works to evacuate the Allied forces while carrying a wounded soldier. Green Lantern is knocked down. Hot Girl goes to help him, but he tends off his soldier to her and tells her to leave him. Reluctantly, she obeys. As the tanks bear down on him, his ring has finally run out of power. Dun dun dun! Wow. This whole episode, I mean, just all three parts, I think, are really, really well done. I already kind of mentioned the whole ship is out of fuel thing, and how the comm thing, you know, if the ship is dead and all that, but, and I also mentioned, I just love the I love the alternate universe Batman design. That is just so awesome. The rocket powered bat drain.
That was awesome. Did you catch the it's kind of a nod to the 60s, 70s Batman with the road blockage appearing, disappearing when it went through. It was very much like when they launched the Batmobile.
Yep. And of course, we have cameos with the Bat family, Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon kissing while Tim Drake, and I'm assuming Cassandra Cain, run by.
Now, was Cassandra Cain made during this time period that it was animated and released?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I like how Jean half phases through the floor, so it's like he's peeking in the room. I mean, you only see like the top half of his head and in his eyes when he was sneaking into the building.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
There were some good lines in this.
Yeah, there were some very, very good lines. One of my nitpicks, though, what the hell, when Batman tells them to jump through the portal, you know, to go back in time, the controls weren't even set. How do they know where they're going to land? I mean, how do they know that
he's the goddamn Batman.
I know he's the goddamn Batman, but, I mean, it's just one of those things where you don't just get into a DeLorean and just sit there and let it take you wherever.
Well, no, you got to drive it
up to 88 miles an hour.
Yeah. Okay, Cassandra Cain first came out in 1999, so there's 3 years overlap. So it could possibly be her.
Yeah, it could be. Did you notice the Transformers reference a little bit?
No.
When they're falling through the time warp, and they're in the time warp, they morph, and their costumes and their faces are all repainted.
Yep.
That kind of reminded me of when Magnus and Cyclonus and all them went through the negative universe.
Yep.
Yeah.
That entire... I'm very much opposed to the art style that I'm about to describe, but... The old Hobbit and Return of the King and Lord of the Rings movies from way, way back. It made me think of the trippy 70s animation where everything was really whacked out colors and...
Yep.
That was the first thing that popped in my mind when I saw that. I'm like, oh, no. I loved some of the lines in this episode. Like, when the officer asks Flash for his identity papers, and he's like, I don't have an identity. It's secret. Chicks dig that whole Man of Mystery thing.
Yeah.
And, when they're in the train, and, they're all pushed around because it's going at an insane amount of speed, and when they finally stop, Hawkgirl's like, whose hand is that?
Yeah. Sorry.
And, of course, Flash with the, great jumping Hera.
Yeah.
Oh, what else? Was there anything else that, like, jumped out at you?
I've got three more notes. I love Hot Girl's graceful violence. I don't really remember when I was writing that down, what scene I was watching, but it was right after they had fallen through time. It was right when they arrived.
Just randomly beating up.
Well, no, it's not even that. Just it was something about it was right as they came, into the into the town in France out of the time portal. It was either something she did, or it was like she walked up to something, like a tank or whatever, and she's just like so calm, and then all of a sudden here comes that big honking mace. And it was just like so graceful. It was like, wow. It was like, graceful violence is a new term. I want money every time someone says that. the scene where Steve is falling and Wonder Woman goes to save him. I love how Jean just appears right in front of the attacking plane's crosshairs.
Goes really hard and then phases through it.
Yeah, that was so awesome. And of course, the last line of this episode, dead. Oh, wow.
What else? I don't know. This is really, like, the whole story arc was actually really good.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so I couldn't help but think of History of the World Part 1 when we saw Hitler on ice.
Yeah, that was...
It just made me think of that whole Hitler ice skating thing for some bizarre reason. I actually, like, when we saw the big Doom wheels, it was like, wow, that if you were to see that in real life, I can imagine why, like, just the morale degradation that would happen if that thing were to be real and landed on a battlefield.
Yeah, you'd be running like hell.
Yeah. Something that did bother me was there was no warning about ring depletion. I mean, that's because I'm a Green Lantern geek, but...
There was no what?
No, like, dramatic buildup of, you know, warning, ring battery at, you know, 0.2% or something like that.
Well,
that could have, if they used it right, it could have added a lot more drama to the whole, his ring depowering, and now he's, like, gonna get squished deal.
Well, he did say that, in the very beginning of this episode, he said that it was running out of juice.
Yeah, and then at the same time, like, that entire point, that entire section of the episode, he's using it left and right, you know, building this construct, you know, shooting this, making this shield. Where was, you know, there wasn't any warning saying, oh, I'm getting lower. It was just at the beginning of the episode, oh, my ring's running out of power. And then suddenly he's using it, and dead.
Well,
no dramatic buildup or no indication that it's getting closer.
Well, one of the things, and, you know, you're the Green Lantern guru of the show, but one of the things that I noticed was when he went to use it at the very end, it flashed and faded out.
Right.
Basically saying that, he said that it was dead. And then the episode ends. The only reason why I can kind of excuse it not having more warning on it is because they wanted to leave you on a cliffhanger, and I think they did that very well.
I have to disagree that they could have. They did it well, but I just think that they could have put in more dramatics into it. Like, it just seemed like, okay, it's working, and now we're going to pull it away, and there was no build up to that.
You have anything else for part one?
Steve Trevor. Did you catch who that was?
Oh, yes. I'm going to be bringing that up a little bit later.
Okay.
We'll save that. Yeah, I know exactly.
I saw it, I'm like, that. Is that who I think it is? And I actually had to call my other half. I'm like, is that character?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You mean the...
Yeah, Vandal Savage. Do we want to talk about that now or later?
Vandal Savage. Yeah, we can talk about that now. Vandal Savage is John Jones in Smallville.
Okay, that's not what I was going for, but okay. Yeah.
Well, Phil Morris, who voiced Vandal Savage, plays John Jones in Smallville. What were you going for?
The thing that we had talked about.
Oh, the... Show. He is Kane.
Yeah. Do you want to touch on that now, or wait till...
Go ahead.
Part three. In the DCU, Vandal Savage is effectively Kane, like, Killer of Abel. And that was brought up in Final Crisis, I think? The most recent major Crisis storyline. Which they don't full out say, but, you know, they're skirting around the issue of the fact that he is this uber immortal homicidal maniac, with when he's talking to the Martian Manhunter saying, Jean is saying, you age really well, and Vandal Savage is like, oh, you have no idea.
This actually will come back, though, because I was actually going to save this note until the final act, but Vandal Savage does come back in Season 2 in Maid of Honor, and we will get his origin story of how he became immortal in that.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. It's all good. So, shall we go on to the next episode?
Yes. In part two, the Allied forces are under heavy attack while trying to withdraw their forces from a beach. The remaining League members, Superman, Hawkgirl, and Flash, work hard to evacuate the troops. Flash is appalled to hear that Hawkgirl left Lantern behind and runs back to find him. But Lantern, who has just managed to escape from the War Wheels, has been knocked unconscious and remains hidden. The thing pisses me off is Flash was right there on the cliff, right in front of the little mud thing where GL was. He couldn't get dirty and go in there and just kind of like kick the mud around and look for him?
Did you see him though? I mean, this is Flash. He's got worse ADHD than I do. Huh. That's saying a lot.
Wow. Okay. As Superman and Hawkgirl work, a new threat arrives at a flight of Messerschmitts on a strafing run. Superman and Hawkgirl take to the air and fight the planes as they are aided by the surprise appearance of a squadron of ace fighters, the Blackhawks. They send the planes running. Blackhawk introduces himself and his team as independent multinational team of pilots fighting against the Nazis. He asks for the League's help, and Superman agrees to meet at their island headquarters.
So, basically, they met up with G.I. Joe.
Well, I can kind of see that, but the Blackhawks are real.
Oh, I agree. They're... I was... Never mind.
No, no, I know. They're, I know really what you're bad, going for, but... But, yeah... Lantern awakens and is found by Easy Company, a squad of American commandos. Their job is to destroy the airfield from which the Germans are planning to launch the invasion. Although Bulldozer is skeptical about Lantern's usefulness without his ring, Lantern quickly demonstrates otherwise by showing what he learned in the U.S. Marines, throwing Dozer to the ground. Savage interrogates Jean in his laboratory. Jean assumes that Savage, like themselves, is from the future. On the contrary, Savage explains the laptop was sent back in time by his future self. On it is a message from the older Savage explaining that he realized that World War II was the best and last opportunity for him to achieve world domination. The computer contains schematics for advanced technology as well as information about the Allies' future plans, such as the date for the planned invasion of Normandy. Savage turns Jean over to the torturer, turns Jean over to be tortured for information. Speaking of which, a lot of the cast, a lot of the main and the guest cast, did dual roles in this show. Joseph, the guy who was supposed to torture Jean, you know who that is?
Who?
Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh.
Yep. So Steve and Wonder Woman wait for his contact Ernst at an abandoned French farmhouse. Wonder Woman expresses surprise that an ordinary man without special powers is willing to risk his life for the war.
Does that throw anybody else considering that she is so close to Batman?
Well,
Never mind her background as an Amazonian, where it's very medieval military style.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously done for character drama.
Right. Maybe if Steve dressed up in a bat suit, she'd be more believable.
It's got to be padded and with like SWAT armor. Stuff from earlier in the episode.
Yeah. He shrugs and says, "Some things are worth dying for." Let's see. German forces appear. Steve quickly deduces that Ernst was captured and gave him away. He tells Wonder Woman to create a diversion while he takes on the soldiers, but instead she almost single-handedly defeats them. One of the terrified soldiers... I'll just edit that out. One of the terrorized soldiers discloses Ernst's location. On Black Hawk Island, Black Hawk explains that they are planning a bombing run on a large German factory, but they need the League's help to disable its anti-aircraft defenses. Savage returns to his lab to find Jean has escaped and the laptop destroyed. Savage orders planned invasion to proceed immediately. He is told that this is impossible while the stolen communicator is still missing. Wonder Woman and Steve rescue Ernst from captivity, but scientist warns them that it is a trap. War wheels appear surrounding the jail. Dun dun dun! And that's how this one ends. I hope you have more notes on this one than I do, because I have exactly 3 notes.
I got a little bit more.
Okay. Okay, Superman is invulnerable, granted, but Hot Girl isn't. The scene where he says all bets are off and they're flying through the air against these planes before the Blackhawks show up, her wings should be riddled with bullets.
They're made out of the same magical material as her mace. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Thanagarian technology, man.
So let's talk about Wonder Woman's virginity, shall we? They brought this up over on World's Finest Podcast, so I'm not trying to really, I'm not trying to copy
steal their idea.
But yeah, it's one of those things where if you look at virginity as man and woman, yes, she technically is a virgin, but for Christ's sake, she was born on an island full of women.
Warrior women at that.
Oh, well, yeah.
That does kind of make a big deal psychologically.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at virginity as a whole thing and not just a man and a woman, if you're looking at it as all sexuality, then she probably isn't. But if you're looking at it as far as her being with a man, well, Steve Trevor was her first.
Now, did they actually do anything, though?
No, but it's implied.
See, I didn't catch that, since I'm...
Well, they go to kiss, and as we all know later, just from what I know from people talking about Wonder Woman comics, I mean that, her and Steve, they are the couple, aren't they?
Honestly, I don't know, because I never really followed Wonder Woman. I mean, it was implied in the 1970s show, though. I mean, they had that whole dynamic duo thing going.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, what do you think, like, Batman's thinking about this?
Well, to be fair, we haven't really gotten to the whole point of them.
True.
That won't actually come into play until much later in Season 2. It hasn't been outright said yet, and it actually never was. I mean, Bruce Timm has said in commentaries that they wanted to play around with it, but it's not an actual part of the show. Actually, it probably first starts in Maid of Honor, I would think, but I don't remember. Final note is, eek, it's a trap!
We get that a lot, so I think from now on I'm just going to be like, yep, it's an Ackbar.
That damn Admiral.
The entire time that Jean was captured, I kept thinking, why doesn't he just phase out? Why doesn't he just phase out? Really? I mean, he could shape change, he could get out easily. Why is he sticking around?
Well, he did phase out, didn't he? Because, yeah.
He get out of the handcuffs and stuff.
Yeah, he did eventually.
Yeah, but what the hell was taking him so long? Like, really? Is he just pumping Vandal Savage for info? Is that it?
Yeah.
He could just, like, phase into some machinery and just chill out there for a while?
Yeah. Honestly, now that you say that, yes, I think he was wanting to get information out of Savage. And then, of course, once Savage left is when he phased out and put the Joseph guy...
I'm sorry, I just can see Vandal Savage going, oh dear, I'm monologuing again. Damn superheroes.
You got me monologuing, I can't believe it. I love that movie.
Her comment of, I can be very persuasive, when she had the German soldier in the golden lasso.
Yeah.
I mean, it's continuity-wise, it's not really saying, yeah, she's...
Well, she won't actually know. She it goes back to what I said when we did I think it was episode 2 or 3 when we did Paradise Lost. Because she stole her armor, she never knew its full potential, and right. Won't find that out until Justice League Unlimited season 3 or 4, the episode The Balance is when. Is
she finds that out.
Yeah, about the lasso and all that.
What else? Savage is the douche. When they start firing on Steve, that's when we see like really pissed off Diana come out, and I think I wrote down Hades hath no fury like an Amazon and love scorned. She totally like. She mopped the floor with everybody, and you can tell it's not just her standard, like, oh, I'm fighting a supervillain, rah. No, she was really, like, getting into it. Like, bitch, get away from my man! Okay, big romantic scene. So she's about to take the cork off the old vintage wine, and the bullet goes through it. Where did the bullet go?
Yeah.
That should have gone either into her or to Steve. Where the frack did that thing go? It was kind of poignant to have the two viewpoints of the idealism of Flash getting really upset. Why did you leave GL behind? Why did you leave John? You know, you shouldn't have done that. And in comparison to Hawkgirl, who lays him out and just says, look, you see these people that we saved, there'd be a lot more casualties.
Yeah.
And she's the last person that would be happy about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was his... They made the call, but it was his choice. She would have tried to fly all of them out if
right.
she could. So it's something I think that ties in with war movies, that you need to have that dichotomy, but... It was kind of nice to see that, and I think that kind of might put that across to some of the younger viewers that would have been wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have?
I don't know.
That was rhetorical, damn it.
Well.
Okay, so they're talking about inconspicuousness, right?
Uh-huh.
And, he's probably hiding, and, you know, you're not exactly the most inconspicuous person in that outfit. You guys are flying. A woman in red, white, and blue, you know, unitard flying through the air hanging off with one guy. I mean, come on, that's really conspicuous? No one's going to notice that? Really? seeing Hawkgirl totally go, like, ape crazy and just letting loose and not have to worry about, oh, I'm going to hurt civilians? Come on, we've been waiting for this since the first episode.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the thing about Jean, now that you bring up the whole inconspicuous, one of the things that really kind of made me mad was, why is he walking through this place as his Earth version of his Martian form?
Yeah.
Why didn't he shapeshift into a guard, into... held just a, you know, something. I mean, that may, you know, much like your ring gripe about the no warning. I would have much rather have had some sort of something with Jean disguised as somebody else.
Or if he was trying to just break through enemy lines or something, turn into like this hideous Martian beast.
Well, you know, that kind of wouldn't.
That too is. But... Using his abilities to an advantage.
Yeah, but a whole Martian. No, that if you're going as like a guard or something. Don't go in as Vandal Savage, obviously, because that'll be a dead friggin' giveaway. But you know, kind of like the whole Mongol thing, from that episode that shall not name. I almost named it. Holy crap! But yeah, that was kind of disappointing. That, you know, while I think it was super cool that he phased through the floor and only phased half his face just to kind of look around before he got up, I wish he would have shapeshifted into something else other than his costumed form.
Who are you? I'm Hans. I'm here to cover for Alphonse, who's sick. I mean, that would have been cool. Have the alternate, like, one character that he's using, or one alternate form.
Yeah.
Just throughout the whole story arc, so we know who it is, and I don't know.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
So we got more costume heroes, though. We got the Blackhawks.
Yes. That's pretty cool. I actually like the Easy Company guys a little bit better, but that's just me.
Oh, I don't know, Bulldozer was a total tool, but...
Well...
It seemed like that entire part where... Or a lot of this episode, you could string it together and make it like a Marines promotional video. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got Jean, who's like basically kicking ass, not just as a Green Lantern, but suddenly, yeah, he's just a normal guy who's totally whooping butt as a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
And then the whole scene when he's coming out of the mud, that just screamed Predator me.
Wait, what?
When in the beginning part of the episode, when Flash is looking for him, he runs off, and then like Green Lantern comes up out of the mud, all covered head to toe, and just wipes it away
of his face.
I'm like, wow, that's more impressive than like Arnold was in Predator.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's pissed now. So I think that's all I got for this episode.
Yep. So going into part three. Wonder Woman breaks off the outer casting of the communicator and then bundles Steven Ernst under the cover and flies out to attack the tanks. In the ensuing destruction, the jail is destroyed and she gets Steven Ernst away safely. The soldiers find the broken casing in the rubble. The High Command is informed that the communicator has been destroyed and Savage orders the invasion to begin. With the League's help, the Blackhawks destroy the factory after Flash runs in and evacuates the workers. Oh, wow. Come on, let's go! Hack Frank whatever the hell he... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. In the ruins, they find a jet engine, another piece of advanced technology. Jean arrives and explains its origin. Ernst taps into the communicator and intercepts the invasion signal. When Steve asks where in England it will land, Ernst replies that the target of the invasion is the United States. Wonder Woman prepares to fly off, but Steve asks, "What if I never see you again?" She kisses him, and he wishes her luck. Oh, mushy crap. Easy Company finds the airfield hidden underneath an artificial hill just as the invasion force is preparing to leave. Savage arrives to take personal command. Easy Company opens fire, and the planes make a rapid takeoff. To the others' astonishment, Lantern runs out and boards Savage's flagship. I love that. I do have an issue with it, but I love it because... It's just so cool, him running out there and getting on the bike, and it kind of reminded me of Brosnan in GoldenEye, when he was riding the bike towards the plane and jumping off the cliff, and yeah. The Blackhawks land and tell the League that they've also received word of the invasion. Flash streaks Flash asks Blackhawk, which way is west? That way. Why? Zoom! Flash streaks west, running across the Atlantic Ocean to warn the American forces, while the rest of the League flies to intercept the planes. Aboard Savage's plane, Lantern sabotages critical systems. The plane loses radio contact and starts to slow down. Without instructions from their leader, the rest of the planes also slow down. Lantern is captured and tortured by Savage, but just then the League attacks and Savage's planes return fire. Wonder Woman arrives, regrouping with Superman, Hot Girl, and Jean. Together they manage to down or disable several of the planes before Savage's flagship restores communication. On his order, the planes ignite their afterburners, outpacing the League. However, the invasion force runs headlong into the anti-aircraft fire from a flotilla of U.S. naval ships warned by Flash. While the plane's crew is distracted, Green Lantern overpowers his guards and shoots the controls, sending it down as he struggles with Savage. Jean nearby senses his presence and tells Hot Girl. She flies to the plane, smashes open the windshield, and lifts Lantern out just before it crashes into the ocean. Savage is last seen going down under a rush of water. With Savage gone and their numbers decimated, the invasion force turns about and heads back to Germany. But the remaining planes are set upon by the Blackhawks, their job done, and the League flies back to Europe. Back in Berlin, the High Command receives news of Savage's defeat and apparent death. General Hoffman, Savage's most vocal critic, immediately moves to have Hitler reinstated as their leader. I like that. He's like, well, who will lead us now, General? Who indeed?
The puppet that they can use?
Yeah. The League arrives back in the present just before the time portal closes. A normal Batman is there to greet them. Superman is so relieved that he hugs him. Oh boy.
Don't look too deep in it.
I know, but all I'm going to say is, can you say totally uncomfortable moment?
I think it's going to make every Slash writer squee, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually going to be the art for this episode. There's only going to be a few episodes of this show where I do special art for each one, but yeah, I decided to use that this time. Wonder Woman visits a retirement home and finds Steve, now a very old man. He smiles and says, Angel, as they share a moment. Okay, just going from the beginning of this episode to the end, my notes are as follows. Holy crap, that mace is amazing. Instead of amazing. Get it?
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a bad joke. when John is under the carriage of the plane and the soldiers find him there, they start shooting at him. But no bullets hit him. What the fuck? The ring is dead.
Mostly bad shots.
I guess, but still. When the Justice League is attacking the planes, wow. Jean has an awesome dive into one of them.
That was awesome.
Oh, he wasn't even phasing. He just,
punched it?
Yeah, he went, three times past supersonic or so. Like he broke six sound barriers or something. I don't know, but that dive was just, wow. Electroshock to the face, Savage.
He'll get over it. He'll get better.
Yeah. Savage will be back, as I said before. He shows up again in Maid of Honor. And the person that we were talking about earlier, Steve Trevor. Can anybody say Bobby Ewing? Patrick Duffy voiced Steve Trevor. Oh, that was just so awesome.
I thought it was great. We've got proof that Flash can run faster than a jet engine.
Yeah.
So why can't he catch up to a stupid car on the highway? I don't get it.
Oh, shit. Oh, I knew you were going to bring that up.
Okay, very beginning part of the episode, the Doom wheels, because I like to call them that, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The wheels are coming towards them. She says, brace yourself while I smother you with this mattress. Way to go, Wonder Woman. Way to go. Gonna make sure that you're totally dead first by smothering you with the mattress against some support beams. So I'm gonna smother you and break your back. Alright. Doing great at this rescue thing. I really did like the fact that Hans, I think it was Hans, the codebreaker they were looking for, was German.
Ernst, yeah.
I thought that was very, very nice, and the fact that he said not all of us are that way, it helps prevent people from getting the wrong idea about Germany at that time. Not everybody was with the Nazi Party.
Right.
So let's see, there's Macking on Wonder Woman. Yay. Okay, the bearded guy from Easy Company.
Mm-hmm.
He's running around pretty damn well for somebody that got shot in the leg.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, I got shot in the leg. Oh, you know, they're like, oh yeah, you'll live through it. It's okay. Okay, he'll live through it, but now suddenly he's like running in the middle of an invasion. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe they extracted the bullet.
Still, it's gonna hurt like hell to put any weight on that leg.
Yeah.
Even after the bullet's been extracted.
True.
So Martian Manhunter just punched through the jet. Flash saving the day. I did not imagine that was gonna come. I thought he was just gonna, you know, go run Tell America or something and get nowhere for it. But wow. Okay. How did they get back to the time portal exactly? Like, how did they jump back through that time-space anomaly?
It was... In the future time...
That wouldn't have existed anymore.
Oh, no, but I'm saying when they went to go back.
Yeah.
When Batman is like, I know where it is. But see, that doesn't make any sense either, because they portray the Nazi town as Metropolis. And then they go to Berlin? How does
and
that...
And then they wind up in the Watchtower. I don't get it.
No. They don't end up in the Watchtower. No.
I thought they were back in the Watchtower.
No. Metropolis. When they went through the portal, they were in Savage's science lab or whatever it was. Okay? So, in the future time, that was Metropolis. However, in the past, I guess it was Berlin? I don't know. They find some way of getting... Oh, no! You know maybe what it was? They went back from... Maybe in the World War II era, they went to Metropolis, to the same building, jumped through the portal, end up in the same building in our actual future now, and then that's where the whole hugging thing comes in, because just out of nowhere, this whole little bat theme comes up, and all of a sudden, Batman's just there. He's like, oh, this anomaly showed up on the Watchtower sensors a couple hours ago. And, of course, two out of the big three hug it up, and that was the end. So they didn't actually warp back, they didn't actually time travel back to the Watchtower, they time traveled back to whatever that building was, and Batman showed up to the building.
See, time travel hurts my head.
Yeah, it hurts anybody's head, I think.
It's just one big paradox to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so that explains that one. What else? Okay, there's an animation flub when GL is fighting Vandal Savage.
Mm-hmm.
His ring is gone, and then suddenly it appears.
Oh, does it?
Yep, I'm like, where does Ring go?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to kind of need that in the future, and then... Oh, there it is. When they're fighting the Air Armada, Superman's flying, and he's randomly punching the air, and I'm like, yeah, you punch those bullets, but yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I sent an email to World's Finest Podcast, and I didn't realize until I read it in the wiki. It's meant to be an homage, but one of their forum people had mentioned something about World War II Human Torch being in this.
Oh, right.
Well, at first I didn't understand what that person was really getting at. They didn't really say, oh yeah, it's an homage, but they said World War II human torches in a Justice League episode. I'm like, wait, no. It's Superman on fire, but it's meant to be an homage to that. And I didn't get that, so... because, I mean, you can clearly see Superman flies through the plane, it explodes, he's on fire, and you can clearly see his whole hair thing, curly cue, whatever the...
Yeah.
Cowlick, whatever the hell it is.
Pompadour.
And, you know, you can clearly see his body definition, but yeah. I don't know. What else do you have for this one?
The big, big manly hugs at the end.
Yeah, what about them?
No, just big manly hugs. Raw. Nothing gay about this at all.
Oh, wow. Batman was so confused, too. Batman was like... He just looked at him like...
He looked like this had better be a... There better be a very good excuse for this.
Well, he looked at him like, yeah, get your damn Kryptonian hands off me. You damn dirty Kryptonian.
Something from episode 2, the slip of Ubermensch,
mm-hmm.
which can be incorrectly translated as Superman.
Uh-huh.
I just, that toss-in, that was really cool. But other than that, I don't think everything else left.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, alright, well, I guess we are going to, I'll close the show. We'll, you'll probably hear some sort of audio from this three-parter. And I guess, yeah, that's about it. This is the quote of episode 5.
Batman, it's really you!
Am I missing something?
Well, that's going to do it for us here on Secret Origins Podcast, episode 5. Thank you for joining us. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Secret Origins. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
Caminiti Style. CaminitiStyle.
MOUSE.
Do do do.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins Podcast. We wish you'll join us next time when we will be recapping Justice League Season 1. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.